So I end up going to, I'm supposed to take my kids to New York. We're supposed to come down here to Austin, ironically, so I can meet with the software company.
Right.
And go out to dinner with a couple of my rehab buddies from CERT,
that's
who
right.
We've now met. We relax, and I blew off the meetings down here. I disappoint my kids. And this is the first holiday since their mom left. So I end up in Gatebox in a basement in Orem. For Thanksgiving. Yeah. I could not be in the basement anymore. I was very upset with myself, disappointing my kids. So I get an Uber, I go home, and I have a sober manager. So we decide we're gonna do like 24/7. The plan is that Jay's job is to keep me sober until mediation.
Right.
My first mediation. You know, I was thinking my divorce was gonna be a lot worse than it was.
Right.
It actually was very fair. I'm sober till mediation. And actually we ended up being sober for almost 3 months. And I went on what I consider the first vacation of my life,
right.
Madeira Beach.
First vacation of,
yeah.
You know, my adult life.
So what I did is I booked a trip the morning of for a red eye. I go upstairs and I start packing. And you're like, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to Florida. How about you?
Yeah.
So,
which was romantic.
So I probably went to the airport like 8 or 9 hours later. And it was just for the weekend because we had to fly back Monday because
right.
We were having my birthday dinner with my kids. My kids have been great. Like, I just royally screwed them over. And there they are for my birthday. And they have been understanding more than I can count. Things are going well. Like, we're sober. We go to New York for Christmas.
Right.
We saw a lot of plays. And then we're sober in January. But I have seasonal depression. January and February are always really hard.
Especially in Utah, where it is just dark and cold.
Yep.
And you don't want to get out of it.
No. Yeah. And it's tough. So we're sober until we go back to New York in February. Because, you know, I go to New York a lot. And that kind of started the sober for a few weeks, relapse. It's just back and forth. Back and forth.
It was tumultuous and rough on both of us. And I think we both regret a lot of things that happened throughout those times.
Yeah.
And, luckily we've been able to move past that.
And we went to go see the Mets. I love the Mets. We have their opening series.
Right.
And, everything's great until, like, it wasn't. You know, and of course, I went to Rome anyways, and was not sober for a moment.
I don't know, several days until I finally joined him.
Yes, and that was her plan the whole time.
This asshole. He flew first class to Rome, and he stuck me in the back of a plane.
Like you were, I remember you were awestruck.
I was. Once I got there, I found Josh. So I finally meet him at... He met me in front of the hotel.
And paid for the Uber.
And he paid for the Uber. He was a mess. Very sorry for his actions. But both of us sort of continue this relapse together in Rome. It becomes sort of a big party for the first couple days.
Yeah. And
get a t-shirt
of
my drinking, some Dom Perignon.
It's your dream, wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. I'm drinking out the bottle. And,
like the song.
Yeah, like the Miley Cyrus song.
Yeah. We thought we looked pretty good. I go back and look at the pictures and I'm like, horrible.
I was terrible. I looked soulless. I looked lost.
Yeah.
It was
So yeah, we come back together. Everything's great. I even take care of you on the Mediterranean. We extend our trip because you weren't feeling well.
Ended up getting sick.
Yeah.
I set our trip for like 2 weeks.
Well, I had already been there for like a week. We were only going for like a week. So I think I ended up being there for like 3 weeks and you ended up being there for 2. Again, like I missed a mediation. So then we get back and...
I can move.
Well, my dream was to move to Florida. And that dream I could not achieve in my previous situation. So, you know, we started looking at houses in Florida. I wanted out of Utah.
Right.
I wanted to live in Florida. So we extended our trip to Florida for pretty much the whole month of May and then went to Aruba and Key West. So we're in Key West and we're driving.
I have really bad back issues and neck issues. And so it was definitely just one more excuse that I could use something to kill the pain.
Yeah.
So we stop on the side of the road somewhere on the way to Key West.
Christmas County there.
Right.
And well, we go in the store and we buy probably enough for like a dozen people. I mean, like.
Like, I kind of don't really know what we were thinking buying so much.
Yeah.
And all I needed was like maybe one vape. But we end up getting stuff like mushroom things. And,
which I did
and didn't realize that I had actually opened. I thought I had opened just the pot gummies.
So long story short, before we went to the island before Key West.
All I remember is I looked back and I could see palm trees. Yeah. And that's the last I remember of Key West.
So we get to the hotel and you left the hotel one time over the three or four days we were there. So I'm going out. I'm not going far because I keep coming back and checking on her. And then finally, you said you were hungry. And I was like, well, I'm trying to get you out.
Yeah,
you've never been to Key West before. And so
the only other part of Key West I remember was that I said our bathroom looked like an Instagram picture.
Yes, because it was black and white.
It was something about black and white, and the walls were pink, and then there was like a green palm plant. And in my mind, that equaled an Instagram picture.
Yes. So we went out to eat once, and you asked me how you looked.
Yeah.
And I said, well, great. And you said, let me see a picture. You thought you looked pretty good. I was surprised. I mean, you look good. It was your hair.
Yeah, he let me out.
It's hard to argue with somebody that's getting eaten, and you had to eat. So, you hadn't been out in like 2 days.
Right.
So I think that was the last time you got marijuana, right? The last time. I think you got rid of the vape before we got on the plane in Fort Lauderdale. We stayed at then north of Fort Lauderdale. We went to Aruba, and we just drank in Aruba.
Right.
We're actually pretty under control there, but yeah. No pat on the back. But yeah, so that was the last marijuana.
Yeah, that was the last time I ever did.
I'll be honest, that was kind of a wake-up call for me. Something was definitely off. So that was the last time that... I think we used hard drugs and pot.
Yeah.
We go home and...
We've picked out our house.
We picked out our house and we go home. Yeah. So we have a crazy week.
Yeah.
There's some prescription drugs that
I had
don't
bad,
play well
yeah, I
with
a
each other.
Yeah, bad reaction to. And
yeah.
Ended up having the full-blown psychotic.
Yep. And I don't know what's going on. It got pretty crazy, and then we both end up in the hospital. So I did overdose, and it was found by my youngest daughter, who I mentioned before, Maya, and her best friend, Tasia. I call her TJ. They had the paramedics come. I don't know how far gone I was.
And this is after I had actually decided to go spend a night at my parents' house. We're not together at all.
Yeah.
I mean, it was very obvious we loved each other, but when it came to communicating when we had a problem, that was something neither of us could figure out how to do.
Like, I'm not the best communicator to begin with. But I overdose, and I know this at the hospital, but I'm arguing with the hospital staff, and I want to go.
Which blows my mind
that
you somehow didn't get a 72-hour hold.
Yeah. But my kid and her friend were frustrated. They just took off. I actually posted this, like, me sitting on the curb waiting for my Uber.
Right.
And the first place that I have the Uber take me is...
The liquor store.
I just may have almost died.
Fallen and you'd hit your head on a corner of the baseboard, and he had this, like, dent that he should have gone to the hospital for to begin with.
And so now fast forward, we're moving to Florida. First time either one of us has driven across country. Yeah, I'm driving this big truck, we take our time. It's our shuttle to get there, maybe 5.
Didn't start drinking until...
Jackson?
We were in a place that, like, Elvis played at or something. Some bar.
Yeah, but the food sucked.
It was terrible.
It was really bad.
Yeah, but that's when you had a drink.
And, like, I was like...
And there was something different. Like, when you had a drink this time, I just had this real bad sinking feeling. And it did.
Yeah. On the way down there, I was good. I had just a few beers. We didn't have, there was nothing until we got down there. And then, but like, I'm the type of person, like, we kind of had a deal that we'd have certain things in place before we got there.
Like, doctor,
psychiatrist,
therapist, and something.
It made my appointments and given, provided.
And I just don't make appointments as quickly as other people.
But the deal was
that I was supposed to have it. We went.
So that's an example of a boundary. It basically was like, well, she didn't do it.
Right.
Well, what am I going to do? Set up. We're going to need couples therapy and all that. So my disappointment was,
he didn't think I was taking it as seriously as he was. And I was. I'm really good at procrastinating. Yeah.
So, you know, I don't handle my disappointment very well.
Yeah. You kind of broke. Mm-hmm. And not his stuff. My stuff, expensive stuff, stuff that he had bought me as beautiful gifts.
But yeah, it was, I don't remember making the decision to do it, but I was doing it.
Yeah.
And looking back on it, I've got some theories on why, but in the end, I did what I did and it got me arrested for the first time in my life. And that was not fun. Thinking I can get away with any, like, my think I can get away with anything playing out literally. And God bless them. I mean, seriously, they could have charged me with quite a few things. They only charged me with one thing. But looking back, I think that it was the best thing to ever happen to me to that point. I know it didn't happen to you, but what happened after for both of us, I think, changed both of our lives.
Right.
And if that's what had to happen, that's what had to happen. We joke around about it, but like, you know, I got put in the back of a police car. I got handcuffs put on. They were way too tight.
I mean, you were genuinely freaking out.
I never imagined ever being in that position. And there I am. It seems to take forever to get there. We take like 3 or 4 different stops. And we finally get there. Mugshot is online.
Right.
My mugshot, it's got a lot of likes and forwards and saves. So I hope my lesson helps somebody else. Because like, I had never been in a situation like that before. So eventually they let me out. And then,
told me they weren't going to let you out until
11 in the morning. Yeah. That's when everybody gets out.
Yeah.
So at 2 in the morning, I don't have my wallet. I don't have a cell phone. You threw it in the canal. You also threw your own cell phone in the canal. So I have no cell phone. They release me, and they're like, can you just walk that direction? And it's like in the middle of this like big plot of land. 2 in the morning, I walk out there. I sleep on the concrete. There's bugs and stuff. Like, 9 a.m. can't come too fast. But some guy, like, saw me, and, like, I asked if I could use his cell phone. So anyways, I camped out there, and 9 o'clock finally rolls around.
Right.
There's a lot of paperwork. I think I've ripped, my life is over. I don't know how this works. Like,
I've never been arrested.
I've never dealt with like this world before. So my lawyers and my sober manager, they find this place in Texas.
And actually, I have a part of my story there too.
Yeah.
It's all still very fuzzy, but I do know that I took several different types of downers, including some benzos and sleeping pills, ended up overdosing and dying for a second. So I end up going away for about a week in Florida.
I don't know where you're at.
Right.
Because when I had an Uber take me to the hospital you were at, they said I couldn't see you. I know you were on the dock, and then they brought you out of the house.
Yeah. And so I'm there. Had quite a bit of trauma happen. At the hospital, the staff was very abusive. Staff members that would come to my door and have me undress. Finally, after a week, I was able to get out. I made it home. And that is when both Josh and I said,
This is not sustainable.
So Jay, Silverman, found us both a place.
Yeah.
to go. Different places, different rehabs.
Yep.
But we both decided that we needed to go for 90 days. If we did anything less, it wasn't going to be enough.
And right. The first couple weeks you're there, you're just, even if you want to be there, you're adjusting. I finally realized, especially when like the police came by, what else needs to happen? I've been arrested. You almost died. I almost died. I mean, you almost died a few times. It seems like each time we're inching closer and closer to like, and I really truly felt like if we didn't go, or if I didn't go, I'd be dead or I'd be in a prison. Now, when I went to rehab, if I'm totally honest, like, of course I wanted to get sober. Did I believe I could? No. I mean, I've tried. Number one, I wanted to get my charge off, which ultimately happened.
For you to go to rehab, for me to go to rehab, it was huge culpable.
I mean, if we got away with what we did that weekend, and I'm the one that did the criminal activity, right? If we got away with that, like, and I didn't get arrested, and then you didn't end up overdosing, we would have just gone further. It was just insane.
So in a sense, we saved each other.
No, exactly. And going to rehab, when we went to rehab, the plan was, like, what Heidi proposed to me, remember? Yeah. So, and we had been talking about getting married, and I said yes. I mean, I sort of wanted to do it, but whatever. I mean, later on I got to. The plan was we're going to get back together. But yeah, when I left, you don't know, you know? Yeah. I remember you asked me to say a prayer. I believe in Jesus. Do I pray all the time? No. I try not to be that way, this way, but like, I will pray more when Josh needs help. So thank God I got arrested, and I end up going to Texas. Heidi ends up going back to Utah. We were kind of worried about being like a trigger because you'd wanted to leave Utah so much, but it actually ended up being, you said, healing grounds. So.
Yeah.
So I think we ended up the places we needed to be, and I learned why I did what I did. Like, remember John at the Intermountain Power Project asked me, did you figure out why you were doing what you were doing?
Yeah.
And he was asking me, like, why was I killing myself? Why was I drinking? Why was I abusing drugs? And I said, yeah. I mean, I never knew before. And it was because I was trying to replace, like, as they say, a hole inside me. Not think about my low self-esteem, you know. I'm codependent. So all these things that aren't bothering most people are bothering me. I'm living in the past. I'm not letting go of things that happened to me, past regrets. I'm worried about the future. I'm worried, you know, never has anything not worked out. Like, and when I say that, like, not everything works out perfectly. Nothing's a disaster. Everything works out the way it's supposed to work out. But I always thought, like, you know, the next shoe's gonna drop. I never even had a reason to think that way, but I would just dwell on those things. Even if I wasn't drinking or using, I still wouldn't be present because my mind was occupied with all of these things bouncing around. So I learned how to manage that in my mind. I learned how to not live in the past, live in the present, and not fixate on the future. And I put it like this: God's with me now, and that's the only place I can experience Him. He was with me in the past, but if I dwell in the past, I'm not experiencing Him in real time. I'm like reflecting on, you know, the past. And in the future, He'll be with me in the future, but I'm just kind of predicting or fantasizing about the future. And obviously you need to plan for the future to fret about
something.
You have to be here and not thinking here or there. And then, like I said, transactional relationships, expectations I would put on people, and they wouldn't even know these expectations, you know? So I learned that if I'm going to have expectations, I need to make them clear. And if I am just doing something for somebody, like, I'm just doing something for somebody. I'm not expecting anything. Those were just concepts that were formed. And the biggest thing is, as I started learning these things and I could tell my mind was moving away from wanting to use or anything because I wasn't thinking about it. I stopped like dreaming about it. It was like not on my mind. So as the 90 days went on, by the time I got out, like, you know, I'm confident that I don't want to drink, but I'm not overconfident. I have a plan this time.
Right.
you know, like a very detailed plan. Like before the two times I left, we both had plans, right? Exactly. But you know, just at the bare minimum, like I was gonna do IOP the last two times I went. Like I lasted like a couple weeks, and I didn't like it. This is boring. I don't know. You know, I went to IOP every time. I think I missed twice. You know,
right?
Maybe twice at the most, and I was going to therapy. I'm still going to therapy. Like, I did the things that, guess what, the experts who know what they're doing based on, I think, previous results, chances are I'm going to stay sober if I do these things, right? So I do them. I don't get that thought of wanting to drink or use has not come back. And even when we've had problems, no, not like how we used to. But like when we have problems and I do get upset or frustrated, or, you know, believe it or not, you're not perfect, nor am I. Like the things that used to bother me don't bother me anymore. And I'll tell you this, like, I look at my whole life, literally my whole life, I can remember having arguments. I can't tell you what they were about. And that tells me that, like, they were not very important. I've come to the conclusion, and sometimes it doesn't work, but like, I'll sit there and think, is this going to matter tomorrow? Is this going to bother me even in a few hours?
And it stopped a lot of disagreements dead in their tracks.
Yeah, like, it just, I don't even bring it up, you know? And it's, you can just look at all my relationships, everybody in my life.
We're on the same team now.
Yeah.
Like, not that we weren't before, but I think we realize now it's not like you versus me, or right versus wrong, or one of us being a winner, but ultimately coming to a conclusion or, you know, some sort of compromise.
Right. Like, I can't tell you one time I felt like I won an argument. I mean, like, in my past, I thought I won an argument.
Did you ever actually feel good about it?
Yeah, but like, I, looking back, they weren't really wins. They
right,
were just,
You've lost self-respect. You've lost respect for the other person, or they've lost respect for you, or yeah. Or it's taken days to come to the conclusion of what the argument is, and it's just so not worth the time and effort, right?
And I learned how to communicate better. Like there's just all these things that like. Would probably be good if the mental health things, you know,
it should be taught.
Yeah, I wish I knew these things a long time ago. This person,
me too.
It's never too late, and I wouldn't trade where I'm at now for anything.
Josh,
thank you, Heidi.
You tell your story.
Thanks for pulling it out of me.
And it's fun, you know. I may know you, but. Very well, but it's still, it's always nice to hear like your perspective on how things happen. What do you think now versus how you used to think? Because it's so obvious to me. It's so obvious to anyone who knew you before and still knows you now. Like, it's so night and day. It's just.
I can see, I mean, you've seen it like in my kids. My kids, instead of like being on guard, like, what is he or these two gonna do next?
Right. Very different now.
They're now able to just enjoy being around us, right. And they're actually like kids instead of like watch guards. Yeah, they were worried.
Yeah, right.
And that wasn't fair.
No,
but I like it. It's like I said, I wouldn't trade this for anything. Thank you, everyone, for joining us on spreading the good buzz. We'll see you next episode.